From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, he continues a message entitled, The Ruinous Power of Unconfessed Sin, part of his series in the Book of Judges. The book is basically the history of Israel's backsliding. As with all forms of spiritual decline, Israel's problem was sin. They tried to keep the form of their religion, while failing to see the relationship between God and their blessings. Over and over again we read, And Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. As they learn to their cost, sin always has consequences. As Dr. Cairns is demonstrating, backsliding always begins in the area of sanctity, a failure to stay in close communion with God through the Scriptures and prayer. The pattern of Israel's turning to false gods reveals an ominous truth. Those who do not serve the living God end up serving the devil. There is no middle ground. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Our Holiest Example. The text is from Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This is the way to live. With God always before us, we shall have the noblest companionship, the holiest example, the sweetest consolation, and the mightiest influence. This must be a resolute act of the mind. I have set, and it must be maintained as a set and settled thing. Always to have an eye to the Lord's eye, and an ear for the Lord's voice, this is the right state for the godly man. His God is near him, filling the horizon of his vision, leading the way of his life, and furnishing the theme of his meditation. What vanities we should avoid! What sins we should overcome! What virtues we should exhibit! What joys we should experience if we did indeed set the Lord always before us! Why not? This is the way to be safe. The Lord being ever in our minds, we come to feel safety and certainty because of His being so near. He is at our right hand to guide and aid us, and hence we are not moved by fear, nor force, nor fraud, nor fickleness. When God stands at a man's right hand, that man is himself sure to stand. Come on, then, ye foemen of the truth. Rush against me like a furious tempest, if ye will. God upholds me. God abides with me. Whom shall I fear?
I'm glad I
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
Times, we as Christians rightly bemoan them, but we are not unique in this. It's been true of Christians down through the years. There are times when the Word of God is not the open book to us that we have known it to be on other occasions. John Bunyan, the great Baptist preacher, well, was he a Baptist preacher? I don't know. He was a strange Baptist, if he was a Baptist. I've always taken him to be such, but I think John Bunyan was a good Free Presbyterian. That's the honest truth. He believed in believer's baptism, but he had his infants baptized in the Church of England. If that's not ecumenical, I don't know what is. He was many things, but certainly one of the greatest men of God. And if I were a Baptist, I'd be saying he was a Baptist. Because I'm a Presbyterian, I'm saying he was a Free Presbyterian. John Bunyan, a mighty, mighty man of God. But he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said there are times when for weeks on end the Bible is like a dry stick to me. You know that feeling. When you come to the Word of God and you're not getting out of it what once you did. You read, but you don't enjoy. And it's at that time that the devil would come along and just nudge you away from the constant, disciplined, daily, deep reading of Scripture. That's where backsliding comes in. To quote a real Baptist this time, C.H. Spurgeon said that there are people who take a Bible, put it under their arm, and they go to church, and then they stick it up on a shelf when they go home, and you could take your finger, and in the dust that gathers from week to week on its covers, you could take your finger and you could write the word damnation. Strong language, but I believe very accurate. Sin starts in the secret place. It starts in the area of sanctity. And you will know another telltale sign. And it's this: when you begin to give the energies that once you gave to the things of God to something else, backsliding in the area of sanctity has already begun to take place. The something else may be very legitimate. It may be very laudable. But if the energy that ought to be going into the things of God, if the energy that ought to be going into the private place of prayer, into the study of the Word of God, if that energy is being channeled in some other direction, you are beginning to walk the very same pathway that these children of Israel were walking in the chapter we've been reading tonight. Sin starts in the area of sanctity. Then it spreads to the area of separation. You can see what I have already termed the great leveling movement. The children of Israel began to get in line with the nations around about them. They began to get in line with what was acceptable in the world. The standards that prevailed among the ungodly suddenly became the desirable standards for the children of Israel. And you will notice they imported this even into their very worship. This was not something that they kept in their secular lives and they still kept up a front in their spiritual lives. No, they mingled even the whole thing up and they looked at the world standards and they said, "That's what we want." Sin doesn't stay in the secret place any more than leprosy in the Old Testament ever stayed secret. It begins to spread and it gets to the area of our separation. When Christians begin to lose out with God, there is always a very definite mark. And it is they become ashamed of that which makes God's people a peculiar people. They don't want to be the odd man out anymore. Now, we are a peculiar people, sometimes in more ways than one. We are not meant to be peculiar in the sense that we're half mad. We're not meant to be peculiar in the sense that we're ornery and twisted. And everything that anybody's likely to say will get our back up. We're not meant to be peculiar in the sense that we are just downright odd. The Lord knows we have enough people like that about without us adding to their number. The peculiarity of God's people is likeness to Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says we are looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, He has redeemed us to Himself, a peculiar people. What's the peculiarity? Zealous of good works. That's what makes a Christian peculiar in the eyes of the world. That's the stamp of difference in the life of a Christian. He is zealous of good works. But you see, when sin begins to spread in the life of a believer, he doesn't want to be peculiar. He wants to be accepted. Now, I tell you something. I don't think as a church we want to court people's bad opinion of us. But on the other hand, I don't think we should be too worried about courting their good opinion of us either. In the early days of the Free Church in Northern Ireland, I can tell you there was no group of people on the island of Ireland, north or south of the famous border, there was no group of people more despised, more hated, more cursed, more misrepresented, more held up to ridicule than the Free Presbyterians. You can't imagine the kind of opprobrium that was heaped upon us. To be a Free Presbyterian was to be a lunatic, was to be a bigot, it was to be a reactionary, it was to be an ignoramus. Anything that you want to say about people that could be bad, that was a Free Presbyterian. I remember well that scurrilous campaign got so bad that the newspapers carried this startling news article that Ian Paisley had gone mad and was now incarcerated in the local lunatic asylum. That was merely a matter of reporting what they wanted to do, but they reported it as solid fact. I always remember the picture in the morning paper, a little more conservative than the rest, the next morning of the same Ian Paisley, and sitting at his desk in his office at the Ravenhill Church with a smile from ear to ear, laughing at the thought of him being stuck in the padded cell. But you know, that's fairly mean, that's fairly low down, even for a newspaper man. That's fairly rotten. But you know, you would say, there's nothing will cripple the work any more than that. I mean, how can you possibly go on with every newspaper against you, every reporter against you, every television reporter against you, every radio reporter against you, every churchman against you, every denomination against you? How on earth can you possibly go on? The answer is this, my friend, that those were the days when roots were put down, churches were established, people got sealed. And the old devil overstepped himself, because what happened was that people came out to hear these madmen preach. And when they heard them preach, they came back and many of them got saved. You see, being peculiar, as long as the opposition of the world is because of your allegiance to Christ and not because of your sin, being peculiar is never, never a hindrance to the people of God. Our biblical peculiarity is being sold out to Christ. Love Him. Live for Him. Make Him known. And let the devil and his crowd do or say what they will. That's the kind of peculiarity that God will bless. It's never a hindrance, but it's a cross to bear, and too often Christians don't want to bear the cross. So as we read here in verse 6, they drop separation, and then of course it spoils us in the area of service. They serve not the Lord. But I want you to notice what they did do. They did serve Balaam, Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, Zidon, Moab, Ammon, and the Philistines. They didn't serve the Lord, but they did serve the devil. Now watch this, because you and I are going to prove it in our lives. Let me broaden the scope of what I'm saying to every individual in this meeting. Whether you profess to be saved or whether you don't, you are either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve the devil. There's no middle ground. At this moment in time, you are either a servant of the Lord or a servant of the devil. Actually, you know, we can narrow this down to every individual thing that we say and do in our lives, and it's a rather scary process to enter upon. But you can get down to every individual component of your life, and you can say, in that thing, I am either serving the Lord or I'm serving the devil. There's no middle ground. These people gave up serving Jehovah, and they ended up serving Satan. If you're in this meeting tonight without Christ, understand the greatness of your sin. You are not some good living sinner. You are a servant of the enemy of Christ, the devil himself. If you're in this meeting as a Christian, professor of the name of Jesus Christ, if you're not bearing fruit, you're going to bear weeds. If you're not serving Christ, you're going to serve Satan. If you're not forwarding the cause of Christ, you're hindering the cause of Christ. It's one or the other. This was the wickedness of their sin. Just a slight word about the witness to their sin. Verse 6 again, they did this in the eyes or in the sight of the Lord. We live under divine scrutiny. You remember the words of Hagar, "Thou God seest me." Think of the words of the psalmist, "The eyes of the Lord are upon his people, upon the righteous." Now, those are words of great comfort. But they are also greatly searching. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. We need to ask the Lord tonight to write that in letters of fire on our heart. When we sleep through our prayer times, the eyes of the Lord are upon us. When we handle this word carelessly, reading it out of a mere sense of guilt, with no heart in it, no desire in it, no study behind it, no zeal for the truth, the eyes of the Lord are upon us. When our hearts far off from the gaze of man, when our hearts start lusting after the world and the wickedness of this age, the eyes of the Lord are upon us. When we sin and keep up a front before the world and nobody knows anything about it, the eyes of the Lord are upon us. When our heart is as cold as ice to the Christ whose name we bear, the eyes of the Lord are upon us. And as Hebrews 4:13 says, there is nothing hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We live our lives under a divine scrutiny. And under that scrutiny, we will be dealt with by a divine standard.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.